As you're seated, let your Bible fall open to Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. We're going to continue talking about infirmities and struggles and where they come from. And anytime we talk about infirmities basically mean anything that disagrees with God's will in your life. Now, infirmities are, you carry them with you. I think I heard it said that there's only one person who's stopping you from fulfilling the call of God in your life. It's not the devil. It's not your pastor. It's not your spouse. The person sitting right there with you in your seat. It's you. Or it's me, if I'm talking to me, which I don't ever talk about me when I'm preaching. I always get to talk about you, you know. But whenever we talk about infirmities, anything that's stopping you from being who God has said you are, we always have to make sure. Say this with me. Say, make sure.
Make sure.
Say, make sure, preacher.
Make sure, preacher.
When you talk about me,
you
give me hope.
Give me encouragement.
See, that's important, that whenever we talk about infirmity, a struggle, a battle you're going through, it's never, you remind yourself never to take it as judgment. Judgment is one thing. When judgment comes, it comes. It's spoken in judgment. But to know that we're going through a struggle, that you're not perfect yet, that you're not where God wants you to be yet, that you've not overcome that thing yet. That's always from the Word, to share it as an encouragement, a hope that you can do it. See, without God, you probably couldn't do it. But with God, you can do it. And as we're talking about infirmities, I'm noticing, again, infirmity is anything in your natural, it comes from your natural flesh, your natural body, that's trying to tell you something. You're not what God says you are. Now, when you get to heaven, 100 years from now, you're walking around heaven, you're not going to be wearing this old body. So, how many know in heaven there's no infirmities? There's no struggle of belief, there's no doubt that God loves you. You know, God can say from a prophet that you respect under the anointing, God loves you to you, and you'll go, no, he doesn't. Part of you will say, no, I'm not good enough. Now, the flesh understands religion. The flesh, the mind of the flesh, the soul of your flesh understands religion. Completely gets it, embraces it. I give God something, he gives me something back. And so as you begin to walk in the Spirit, you'll have a conflict between the mind of your flesh versus the mind of your spirit, the emotions of your flesh versus the emotions of your spiritual man. The emotions of your spiritual man will say, I can receive all things because I'm a child of God. The flesh will say, I can receive all things because I did good, because I accomplished something, because I did something good. How many know what I'm talking about? Now, there's a big move, and I've watched it grow. It's actually a repeat from years ago. I call it the hyper-grace movement. And as I'm watching it develop, it's actually deeper than when I came across me 20 years ago. It's a deeper move of the flesh, the imperfections, the battles, the weaknesses of your flesh, the infirmities of your flesh, pushing people to go into God and find a place in God that says, he loves you. You're okay. Now, when you come up to God, he looks past your flesh and looks at you and says, I love you. You're righteous. See, your spiritual man is righteous because you have the new nature in you. But whatever acts of the flesh you yield over to, that's called unholiness. So you can battle with unholiness and still be righteous by the nature that's inside of you. But this move that's coming forward by grace, hyper-grace. Grace should not be in their vocabulary because it's not a good, even a part of what they teach. Your flesh trying to find acceptance from God. See, your body pushing you to find acceptance for God for it. And that might be a good definition for it. And so, like a lot of them, I've been noticing lately, a lot of them, because I've tried to counsel, you might say, or talk to some men that I know who have gone that road and tried to bring them around the same path that I came. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. That when I first got a glimpse of His grace, it freed me from condemnation of not being perfect and allowed me to know that while I'm walking closer to Him, He forgives all my mess. I can walk with Him and still battle all kinds of garbage. He doesn't leave me. He's always believing in me. In fact, there's many times, every time God's asked me to move a step further in my calling, I've never felt ready. Because He'll look at me and say, and you, and say, you haven't got this yet, but you're going to get it soon, so let's get started now. And you're like, well, I still don't got that conquered yet. You will, just keep walking with me. Because He believes and knows that you will conquer it if you don't quit. I've never been ready in my own mind to do what He's told me to do. But in that, praying in tongues brought me back around to understand that grace is not the... See, the way the devil taught me from Scripture, because no one taught me this. When I was young, I went down a road of grace, of false grace, for a season while I was praying in tongues. So thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we take credit for what praying in tongues did for us, you know. Yeah, I made this decision. Yeah, thank God you prayed in tongues, you would be off in la-la land, you know. And so it was that God has put away sin forever. That because God, Jesus put away sin once and for all, there's no separation from God. So anytime I saw the word law, every time I saw the word sin, I just chalked it up as God has put that away. And in that went discipline, maturity, everything in my flesh. Well, God, there's nothing that separates me from the love of God. Sin has been put away with. Now we know He's talking about the sin nature. Now I knew He's talking about the sin nature and that the law of God was to show you who you could be. That when He tells you to be holy, you can be holy. Not that He put it all away by grace and by His blood, that now I'm free, I can do whatever I want in the flesh and still be perfect with God. As I'm trying to steer some of them on a better path. Okay, I'm glad you got hold of some of grace in a way, but the hyper stuff you got to get rid of. You have to understand that. And most of them have rejected me as just being untaught or unlearned of the new move and tied into religion and bad standards. And then they started to try to teach me about revelation. And a bunch of them, when one guy does it, it's one thing, but when a whole crowd of them starts to teach about the book of Revelation being fulfilled in 70 AD, 70 years after Christ died. Now, I've heard that belief before. I'm not arguing against it so much, but why as a whole group are they fighting for that? Because there's a reason people fight against certain scripture, because that scripture contradicts and will not allow them to accept the rest of the stuff they're trying to cram down God's throat. It puzzles me. Why am I hearing this over and over about the book of Revelation not being the end times, but being fulfilled in the judgment of the Old Testament when Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD? Was basically what they're teaching, was the book of Revelation came fulfilled totally in 70, 73 AD when Jerusalem was attacked and the temple totally destroyed. And it dawned on me finally, as they say, my lightning quick mind, that in the book of Revelation holds the judgment seat. And there's a judgment, and there's questions about how you lived. And see, you can't accept, you can't preach a whole life of freedom for your flesh and have some verses in there that talk about God judging you for how you handled your flesh. Now, they're going to have to preach away a bunch more verses, which they're trying to do. Thank God we got Gary to stand up and take all the fire for shooting them down and proven what Scripture and truth of those Scriptures are. But saying all that, your infirmities, the thing in your flesh that you won't have in heaven that's trying to tell you who you are today, will try to get you to quit fighting it and find a place in God to accept it. Do you understand? You can be led by your struggles and say, let's go to God and just let Him know that we're okay. You're not your struggles. But the day you accept them as being who you are is the day you start walking away from God and from the hope of being free from those struggles. Now, your struggles that you struggle with, we're going to start in, I won't go back too far. Romans 8, chapter, or verse 26, we'll start there and go backwards a few verses. Likewise, the Spirit helps with our infirmities. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you heard this verse before? Now, what I want you to notice that the Spirit is here, the Holy Spirit is here to help you. Say, the Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit is here
to help me with my infirmities. Now, I want you to notice that the infirmities that He needs to help you with are still here after salvation. So that's what is amazing, because you carry these infirmities from before salvation to after salvation. They're still there. Salvation did not get rid of your infirmities. And to back up, we'll go back to, let's say, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, and I'm reading for the New King James here, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now here's what I want you to notice, that the body that you're wearing is left dead at salvation. It's declared dead and left dead because of sin. But the Spirit, this is your inward man, is life, now brought to life because of righteousness. So the nature, the new nature of righteousness, brought to life your inward man, but left this old body to die and rot off of you. The new nature came to you as full, complete package of God's love put in you, and the old nature of darkness was ripped out of you and put to death. It was quickened. I mean, quickened, a good way to describe that is instantly changed. Instantly exchanged. So we know that our new nature was quickened, instantly exchanged for our old nature of death. Say amen if you're with me so far. Now, we also know that this old body, this mortal body that we're wearing, will one day, at the sound of a trumpet, be quickened as well. Instantly changed. In the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, you'll be wearing, if you're on this earth, you'll have a new body. If you're in heaven without your body, you'll get a new body. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, you'll be wearing a brand new, lifelong, uncorruptible, perfect body that doesn't age, that doesn't take sickness, that does not argue with you, has no depression, sorrow, fear, jealousies, envy, strife. We're talking about brand new body that we get to live eternity with. But the part of you that was not quickened is to be renewed, is this inward man, this inward body. See, it says here, the inward man, the spirit, the inward body was brought to life. It wasn't exchanged. Most likely, I would say that's because He didn't want to snuff you out. Just, you know, you wake up, you don't remember anything because you're a new person. What's your name? I don't know. See, when you get to heaven, He'll tell you who your name is. He had to make it possible to keep you there. Keep you there where you went and knelt down at the altar. That's the moment you died. The old man died. And you stood up a new person, but you remember what you ate for dinner the day before. Why? Because he made it possible to somehow make it where you can go from an old earthly Adamite to a new creature, a child of God. You travel between the two species. See, you went from one species to a different species, not an evolved species. You're not an evolved human. The rest of the human that's on you is going to fall off of you when the trumpet sounds. Then you'll be no human left, nothing from Adam left over. You came from Christ, but you still got this old body on you, amen? And this old body is the source of your struggles. So this is where he tells us. I'm going to bring up my King James Version so then. Let's look at verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if that's you, wave at me. You're born again. You got Jesus in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Say this, I am no longer in debt to live after my old nature. Do you know why you're not no longer in debt to live after your old nature? Because it's not in you anymore. That old nature is dead. It was put to death. That little burial for everyone, everything. You were resurrected in newness of life. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit, see, by the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, this is important. How do we mortify the deeds? Say deeds. See, it's not just this body. This body has deeds. It has ambition. And where many people get confused, many Christians, is they hold on to this mortal body. And this is where your infirmities lie. What's an infirmity? That voice that tells you you're not worthy. The voice that tells you you're not good enough. The voice that tells you you won't fulfill your call. The voice that tells you you need things. And see, the infirmity of this world drives people to live and build a house, build a life around their infirmities. Some people, one guy said, the reason I'm rich is because I married my wife and she takes a lot of money, so I have to work to take care of her. Well, sometimes people are driven by fear of provision, so they push so hard for finances. Not that there's anything wrong with finances, but when you're so afraid not to have them, then yes, you're sore. See, you're driven by an infirmity, a fear. Every work of the flesh is an infirmity against the work of the Spirit. Now your inner man, the new body, God didn't replace it. He has to, the Bible says you're like a child when you're born again. In other words, there was a brick house called your inner man. And then when you were born again, he took a bulldozer and knocked over that brick house because it was built on the information and knowledge of darkness. He plowed it over and said, now I want you to rebuild it. And the word he uses is renew. I want you to renew. Whenever you see the word renew, it's not talking about the natural man. Because his natural man is destined for the grave, for dirt. He's talking about your inner body. You need to renew it with knowledge. You need to renew it with the word. You need to renew it. You need to rebuild it. Otherwise, you will stay a child. There's many Christians who walk around with spiritual knowledge of children, spiritual relationship with God as infants, walking around trying to do the work of God because they haven't taken the time to renew the spiritual man, to rebuild it in the knowledge of Christ. If you're still with me, yell amen. Amen. All right, just making sure. So I go into some of these weeds. I want to make sure you're with me, otherwise I slow down. So here I am, born again, new creature. Now, if I go to one church, they'll tell me, hey, now that you're born again, time to get to work. Let's go be busy for the kingdom of God, and you can learn how to develop an ear for the Spirit and walk with God to do things for people, but yet because you haven't taken the time to feed that inward man, that spiritual body stays with the knowledge of an infant, a baby, childish, which allows the flesh, the body, the will of the body, the infirmities of the body to overtake you. See, when that inner man begins to grow and mature in the love of God, then you know God is my provider. So say this with me, God is my provider. See, we know scriptures about that, don't we? God is my provider. So you can believe that all day long till someone comes and steals your car. Then you're like, call the police, get my baseball bat. We're going to take care of this the old-fashioned way. I'm going to get my car back and make sure that sucker doesn't steal it again. Now, I'm not talking about drug addicts who, I don't want to get into trouble here, but sometimes love for some people is putting them in jail. Sometimes that's the best love, but the love is for what's best for them, not what's best for you. Not vengeance for me. Because if you know that God's your source, then you can have people take all your stuff and you're not afraid. Why? Because God's my source, He'll give it back to me. So knowing the scriptures that say He's your provider is different than becoming the person that knows He's your provider. Let me say this again. Knowing the scripture that says He's your provider is different than becoming the person who knows He's your provider. And this is where many people who don't want to confront their infirmities like to hide behind the Word of God. And they will say things like, the Word of God says, and they shoot out the Word, but they haven't allowed that Word to go into them deep enough to where it transforms them. Because the problem with the Word of God is it will, if spoken in truth, understood in truth, is it will always confront everything that you live in that doesn't agree with it. And then you have to choose. I either change the meaning of the Word so that I feel safe, or I confront this thing in me. Now, knowing it's there doesn't mean you should feel... I want to ask for a hands for how many people know you have things you got to put away with. Don't put your hand up. Sinner. Yeah, I saw those hands. We all know who the sinners are in this room now. See, knowing is one thing, but becoming is a different thing. And so knowing you have a struggle doesn't mean you're in error. Doesn't mean you're a failure. It's the Word is to give you hope and say, this is where you can live. And if you keep feeding that spiritual man, it will grow and grow and grow until you will have enough to walk in who He says you are. I went to a real fancy dinner one time. And you know what's fancy? You know, I'm used to going out to eat with paper napkins. They actually had cloth napkins at this table. And it was so fancy that they had, three forks, three knives, 15 spoons, you know. And like all kinds of little glasses. Like not just one glass, like a bunch of little glasses. And I sat there in my suit and tie trying to act like I knew what I was supposed to do because I didn't want to expose myself. And so I tried to find someone who knew what they were doing. And I looked at them and I brought the food and I didn't eat. I just was respectful and watched. And when he picked up his fork, I said, okay, that's the fork I use for this. So I picked up my fork. And then after I ate, I tried to eat at pace with him. And then when he was done, this is the kind of place where they come up and the waiters with a little tiny brush and brush the crumbs off your table. You know, they can't come around my plate for some reason. I don't know why. Yeah, you know, how come I got three of you guys with brushes? Back off, you know. And see, I was trying to act like I belonged. It wasn't who I was. And so when you see scripture that says, be holy, for I'm holy, See, that scripture is to remind you where you're going. Don't give up on the possibility that you will one day overcome that infirmity that tells you not to be. But it's not to bring you judgment for not being there yet. The only time you're in danger is when you accept. See, a lot. That's how I got started, is a lot of the Christian people today are trying to get the scripture to line up and God to accept their flesh under a banner of grace that says it's okay to live however you want, do what you want. He loves me. And they mock and make fun of people who have standards, who preach standards. Do you know it's okay to preach a standard as long as you provide love and hope and courage and the pathway for the person to get there? I don't want to just live this life the way I came out of my mother's womb and out when I was 18 years old. I don't want to live my life destined to build my world around not confronting my infirmities. Marry a person that doesn't make me look at it. Take a job that doesn't make me face it. I want to live my life of who God says I can be. There's a difference between knowing who you are and becoming who God made you. There's a difference between knowing who you are and becoming who God made you. I need to say that one more time. Because you hear a lot of people say, if you just know who you are, then you will quit judging yourself. If you just know who you are, you'll walk in things. Listen, knowing you who you are is the first step of a long road of becoming who God made you to be. Because that inner man on the inside of you, if you've never prayed in the Holy Ghost, if you never filled yourself with the Word of God, that inner man has not been fed and supplied with what it needs to grow and mature. Let me give you another verse. Hold your finger in Romans and go over to, now let's go to Galatians 5. Say this, I won't give up on everything God's told me I should do. And God won't give up on me. See, a lot of the world is trying to justify crazy infirmities. You got some broken soul to people. Their natural soul is so broken that they find safety in the weirdest places, in unhealthy, unholy places. And they find people who look like them, who act like them, who walk like them, and they find pride in, oh, this is, I finally found peace. I finally found peace by finding a group that accepts me for who I am. But really all it did was that infirmity finally found a place that it wasn't confronted. And then they'll try to make you accept them for who they are. But really, they're just damaged. They're broken. I don't judge them for being broken. They're broken. And they try to find a life. And if you from the outside can look at them and think, how unhealthy, how messed up are you? And for them, they feel right, safe. And they feel, don't be confused, they're not happy. They're just safe. That screaming from their infirmity, that part of their natural soul that's broken that says, don't make me die, don't face me, don't confront me today, has finally been quiet because I gave it what it wanted. And so they live their life in crazy and broken, but they themselves, they may feel safe from that infirmity, but don't be confused. They themselves struggle every day with who they are. I don't know if that made sense or not. Galatians 5. I want us to see this. So don't ever give up. No matter how much that infirmity screams and yells at you, Pastor Dave said God will walk with you through hell and back, through your struggles, as long as you don't what? Justify it. Try to make it part of you. This is who I am. This is how God made me. See, at 18, I came out of my family a little dysfunctional. I don't want to stay there. But in your infirmity, whatever your battle is, thank God for it, because if you've seen it and you've been fighting it, at least you know you have something to fight and you've had to turn to God. Many Christians, their infirmities are so much under, so normal to the world, they don't even know they have an infirmity. So they don't have to go unto God. I went into praying in tongues because I was desperate. I was struggling with things that I tried to quit over and over and just didn't have enough strength to do it. So finally, I tried discipline, which is good if you're disciplined. But if you're not so good. I tried authority. Get out in Jesus' name. I commanded the devil to take his temptation away from me. Go in Jesus' name. And he'd run off. Ah! I'd open the door. There he is. I said for you, get out of here in Jesus' name. Ah! You again. All right, I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, you go and you go to hell and you don't ever come back, ever, in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus. I sprinkle it on me, I sprinkle it on. Go in Jesus' name. And I sang songs about the blood, oh, the blood of Jesus. And I'd have victory for a day or two until I was tired, physically, or lonely, or depressed. And there he was again, not tempting me with something I didn't want. Tempting me with something that was in my flesh, that wanted it, that was going, yes. So then I had to resist. I tried resistance. I tried authority. I tried accountability. You know, accountability only works until you don't want anyone to know what you're doing. I tried prayer lines. Oh, the prayer would hit me and I'd fall on the floor. I'm free. I felt free because the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. But then God had to teach me that it destroys the yoke, the thing that had tied me to the bondage, but not the bondage and not the thing in me that wanted Mr. Bondage. So when I got tired later on, Mr. Bondage would come back with another yoke. And he didn't have to wrestle too hard for me to say, oh, okay, all right. See, I tried all of those things to be free of something that was in my flesh, in my body, in my natural soul, an infirmity that said, you need this to feel safe. When the Word of God says you don't. But when I look at myself, it sure felt like I did. In fact, it felt so much like I did that I would try to defend it. Which is probably how I got down that grace message back then. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost will build you up when you pray in the Holy Ghost. Build up. Who does he build up? Your spirit, man. Build you up until it's strong enough and big enough to go, okay, this is who I really am. Then he'll look at that infirmity who's been sitting on his couch drinking sodas, happy as can be, and go, it's time for you to move out of the house. I'm not moving. Well, I'm going to make you move. See, I still am the one that has to make that sucker move. But now, because I built up my spirit, I now can put it to death, mortify it. Say, you're not. You may say you are who I am. You may even give me good reasons why I am the way I am. You may say, well, when you were broken as a child, you were born like this, you were raised like this, you were given this, this happened to you. So this is why you are the way you are. And if you go to a natural psychologist to get help, he'll say, well, this is why you are the way you are. Well, I don't need you to tell me who I am or why I'm that way. I want help to stop being this way. So the Holy Ghost is a better psychologist than any psychiatrist you can find. Because he knows what happened to you. And he knows how to build you up. Your inner man. Now you may be spending years praying in tongues, months, and wondering, why am I not having victory yet? Because you're not ready yet. Worst thing you do is you can go try and have a showdown with some beast in your flesh that you're not ready to conquer. Now here's what I mean by that. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. And where's Galatians chapter 5, thank you. But I'm going to read out of the New King James here. Verse 22, we'll just jump down to this. But the fruit, say fruit. Now, every time you see the word fruit, I want you to imagine, I mean, it's there for a reason. It's imagery. Think of a fruit. How many have seen a fruit tree? How many know how a fruit tree works? You can plant a tree. I planted an orange tree. I didn't really. Let's say I planted an orange tree, and I got upset in 6 months that I didn't have oranges yet. I mean, I got a juicer, and I got ready for my fresh orange juice because I'm going on the orange juice fast. Stupid tree. What's wrong with this tree? I got a dud tree. I wanted to take it back, but they wouldn't replace it. Why? Because a fruit tree takes time first to grow, to mature, and then once it starts to produce fruit, guess what? It keeps producing fruit. Without planting another seed, you're going to have more fruit. Fruit comes from a mature tree. Say that with me.
Fruit
comes
from a mature tree.
Fruit
comes
from a mature tree. Now, I want you to look at the first fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this word Spirit here is not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's actually talking about a war between your flesh, your body, and your inner man. Now, the fruit of the Spirit means this, that your new nature has to push its who it is into your spiritual, your inner body, your inner mind. See, we have the mind of Christ. That is talking more about his will than your spiritual mind. But your spiritual mind must be fed with the Word of God. You have to feed it. If you don't feed a baby, it's going to starve. It won't grow. So the fruit comes from a mature tree. So this tree takes time to grow. And as it grows, something's going to start coming out of it. What kind of fruit is it going to show? Well, let's read. There's a fruit called love. Love is a fruit. What a great thing to have a love tree. You can be a pretty popular person if you just got fruit of love coming out of you. That's why everyone loves Pastor Dave. Everyone loves Pastor Dave. I can make fun of Gary. I can make fun of anyone in here, but I can't make fun of Pastor Dave. Even jokingly, I'll say something just from the pulpit. There's something little funny. To me, it's really funny. And even though it's really funny, all of you will judge me and give me that evil eye that you can mess with Gary, you can mess with the King James Version, but don't you mess with my Pastor Dave. Because he's such a man of love. What a fruit to walk around in. I mean, I remember one time some guy came up, we were walking, and I know that financially he wasn't walking in a lot right at that moment. Some guy walked into the church and caught me and Dave, Pastor Dave. We were just walking out. This wasn't on a Sunday. It was on like a Tuesday. We were just here praying. And this guy came in, obviously, in my view, undeserving of anything. Hey, I just came here. My car broke down the street. I need $400. I was about to say, I'll get a young guy to help tow your truck or have a look at it. Pastor Dave reaches into his wallet and pulls out his last bit of money. And looks at me and says, you got any cash on you? Like, oh, Pastor Dave. You know. What a fruit of love to have coming off your tree. People will love you if you got a fruit of love. There's another fruit. What is it? Joy. Now, I want you to notice, look carefully. Where does this fruit come from? Your spirit. Your inner man. This is fruit. Now, these are emotions. Do you understand that your soul, meaning your mind, will, and emotions are connected to the natural world and the spiritual world at the same time? So you can have two voices talking to you saying, one saying yes, one saying no. One dark, one light for every problem you face. You ever face a problem, you have fear come, and then you have peace come at the same time. I've heard many Christians say it. God told me to do this, and I was scared out of my wits, but I felt peace in my belly. Well, what they're trying to describe is their spirit man was in total peace, because your spirit man knows God as a Father, but your natural body will never know God as a Father, only as God up in heaven. So here's some fruit: love, joy, peace. These are different fruit that mature come off a mature tree. Now, let's see. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6. I want us to read just one verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 22. We'll just read this one verse. And now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit, say fruit, to holiness. See, you have your fruit to holiness. Holiness, say holiness, is a fruit. Now look at me. It's not an act. It's a fruit. See, there's two different things. You can act holy. Did you ever look at someone and say, I've done this many times, got me in trouble. Someone did something to me, and I'm ready to react the way I want to react. I used to react. And I go, what would Pastor Dave do? What would Tim do? Me and Gary agree too much, so I don't say, what would Gary do? I say, what would Pastor Dave do? So I would act in love. Now, the first three letters of act also are in another word, actor. I can act, if I have to act holy, then I'm acting. I'm pretending to be holy. If I have to act in love, I am pretending. See, there's a big difference between acting holy and the fruit of holiness. There's a big difference of acting in love and being in love. Ladies, you know what that's like. Some guy, you know, hey, I love you. It's our first date. Why are you saying you love me? He brought me flowers. Well, great. Does he have a job? No. Does he work? No. Well, he doesn't love you. There's another word for it. The flowers don't impress a lady who wants love. The flowers are a fruit of love. See, love, holiness, these acts are different than acting it. And I've heard people say, how do I say this? A young guy will come up to me. He's not working a job. And he'll say, oh, I had the fear of provision, just fear of poverty on me, but I got rid of it and I went to a place of peace. Now, something bugged me when he said that. Because it was all the right wording and it sounded right, but something bugged me. I thought, why is that bugging me that you said that? I had this fear of finances, of poverty, but I went to a place of peace. Because I know young men who live on their parents' couch. Well, they're not young, they're 40 years old. And they play video games all day. They don't have a care in the world. No family to take care of. No responsibility in life. And they have come to a place of peace too, where I don't have to worry about life or finances. But it's called denial. See, the only time you can say that is if God told you. You have to start it with, God told me. God told me to not work. And I obeyed, and I was afraid, but I went to a place of peace. That makes sense to me. But just to say I went to a place of peace tells me more of denial than it. That has to be framed in the work of I'm doing what God told me to do. Now you got me preaching again. I got to go back. You can act a certain way. Now, acting isn't bad. Okay, acting is a sign of faith. Of saying, this is who I'm going to become. I'm going to act like it until I become it. Okay, so what we don't want is for people to say, until the Holy Ghost tells me to quit doing this or that, I'm just going to keep doing it until he tells me. Even though the Word tells me not to do it. Even though it's against everything or it's wrong, I know it's wrong, I'm going to just let it run rampant in my life until God tells me to deal with it. No, the point of it is, you act what the Word says until you become it. is an act of faith. God, you've told me in your word I don't have to do this anymore. So I'm choosing to fight it every day. But if you fail to it, you fall to it, get up, brush yourself off, cleanse yourself in the blood of Jesus, and know that God loves you and is for you just as much as after you failed as he was before you failed. Because the part of being a child of God is knowing how to walk as his child, free from earning anything. Holiness does not earn you anything. We receive all things. All things. We receive because of who we are, not because of what we do. He may trust you with more if you're faithful with little, but you still haven't earned it. Let's take a quick peek over in Ephesians. The point of this message is to point out that there's a difference between knowing who you are and becoming who you are. And to not be discouraged if you're not there yet. Where are we going? Ephesians. I thought, for those who, if you're listening by audio, it's very clear to those who can see me that I suffered a stroke a little while ago, and I'm recovering from it. And I know that I'm healed already. I know what God told me to do, and I'm walking through it. But healing is not a earned gift. It is already given to us. So in my exposed infirmity, now when I talk, I'm using my physical struggle to kind of talk about infirmity, because where do all infirmities lie? In the natural part of your soul. Okay, that's where all infirmities lie. The reason, if I were to look at myself, my infirmity, my circumstances never changed the Word of God. So the Word of God, you can look at it when someone says, if you're not healed, it's because you don't believe. I want to take my fingers and go, yeah, over here, that's me. Because everyone can see that I'm not healed yet. I mean, I'm not completely walking free from the effects of my infirmity. But the Word of God doesn't change. I don't try to change it because of what I'm going through. I use the Word of God as hope. Because without it, the doctors already gave up on me. The first day, they were just, all their tests were simply to say how much damage was done. And then to say, you know, 3 months, whatever, you don't get back, too bad, son, that's all you get. That's all I heard from the doctors. The doctors have given up on me. Now listen, if your doctor has given up on you, if your family has given up on you, if because of your infirmity. See, my infirmity is exposed, and you can see it in the natural. Okay, but it doesn't lie in the natural. There's no pill can fix what I need. My infirmity lies with an unbelief somewhere that only the Holy Ghost knows where, that lies within my natural mind. Now, I'm going to find it with the help of the Holy Ghost, and we're going to put that sucker to death, and the belief of my spirit man will come forth and override the unbelief of my natural man. If I were to step into heaven today, I wouldn't be hobbling, I'd be running. Well, there'll be a day I'll be running on this earth too, because I'm healed by him. Now, the infirmity, where it lies, is not in, my problem is not a physical problem. Your problem is not in anger. Your problem is not in jealousy. Your problem isn't in, it lies within a place of belief. But let me reword it. We say unbelief, but let me reword it. Let me tweak some things. It's not unbelief. It's belief. Belief in the wrong thing. Your natural mind, soul, has a big, strong, powerful believing that you need this or you don't need it. I had one lady who was struggling with cancer, and she passed away. And if you ever met a lady who ever, and it's no one you know, if any of you met her, you said, well, this woman's, she's a preacher. She stands on the Word of God, confesses the Word of God. If you went to her room and you said any kind of, oh, God bless you, she'd kick you out. Anything against the word, she'd kick you out. She kicked out lots of pastors from her room. And I remember praying for her, and one day she passed, and the Lord began to speak to me. Because if you don't blame God, he can give you answers. And what he told me was this lady was a fighter. She had to fight her whole life from being a child, that even as a child, she had to take care of her siblings. And that built in her natural soul a belief that if I don't take care of it, no one else will. And now it was not connected with her fight for the disease at all. But the Lord spoke to me. That was a battle in her life that was so huge that she couldn't overcome it at that time. See, it wasn't connected, but it was the power, the belief of her flesh. So unbelief kind of denotes that you don't believe. Well, if I asked you, you'd say, well, that's why I'm praying, because I believe I got more. That's why I'm not giving up, because I believe that there's more. But the problem isn't that you don't believe as much as you have a big other belief that's louder, screaming as loud as you can hear from somewhere in your natural soul saying, you can't trust God. You can't trust him to take care of you. You can't trust him to obey you. You can't trust him that you can overcome this. You're too damaged. You're too broken. And I don't care if the doctors gave up on you, your family gave up on you, the bank gave up on you. God hasn't given up on you. There is a walk of the Spirit that you, no matter how messed up you are, thank God that you can see that you're messed up. Because I can point out to you some very good looking older gentlemen. I mean, nice, they got all the hair. It's silver, gray, beautiful, long hair. I mean, long. I know some preachers, they're like they came out of a magazine and they're 30 years older than me. And they got good-looking bodies, pretty wise, big houses, lots of finances, healthy families. But they don't walk in power. They have infirmity. They're full of infirmities. But it doesn't rock the boat. It gives them pleasure in this life, success in this life. But they have just as much infirmity as you do that they have to deal with. But they don't know it. They have no motivation to pray in tongues. Why? I got a good wife, got kids. I'm blessed in this world. But if we're going to get to a place of revival, you'll have the top 10% of infirmities, things in your life that you can see. Smoking, drinking, chewing, all that good stuff. All those ugly things that everyone knows are ugly. Well, I'm fighting to get rid of that. But underneath that are 90% of the flesh's infirmities that are hidden in religion and will bathe you in prosperity, bathe you with good feelings if you don't confront them. I know good Christian men who lived their life and never touched the world, never changed the world. They're full of fleshly infirmities that they don't even know are there. So if you're walking around limping or dopey looking, everyone's giving up on you, and God is all you have, say, thank God I can see my infirmity. At least I know I got to go somewhere. Amen? It's better to go through hell on earth to touch this world and to live happy on this earth and get to heaven and find out, he says, so in one thing I want you to place on the altar. What was that? Your body. The deeds of this body. The will of this body. And you never even put it on the altar to be sacrificed. You lived your life in the name of me, but in doing that, it was really to feed you. I'm in the right church, I think, I hope. All right, are you in Ephesians? Chapter 3, we can start many places here, but let's start in verse 1, just read. Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he had made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of God, of men, as it has been now been revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, his grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart in my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Is that close to the King James Version? Okay. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted, say rooted. That sounds similar to a plant. Be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth, and height, to know that the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him to be able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. There's a promise here for us to become everything the Word says you can become. Holy, love, peace, to be a part of the body, to walk in the revival, to lay hands on the sick and they recover. There's a promise here. But with that promise comes a growth where you have to be rooted and grounded in him like a tree. The fruit of your spirit man must come forward. Fruit doesn't just show up the next day. Sometimes the best fruit takes a long time for that tree to grow. You want to see yourself change? I'm bored, if I can say it this way, with people with preaching of telling me who I should be without telling me how to get there. See, knowing who you are is different than becoming who you are. The becoming who you are says, I know what I can become. And between me and that place is a whole pile of ugly infirmities that are looking at me snarling going, you ain't going to win, you ain't going to win. Because they beat me up 1,000 times. But I have this hope in me that says if I spend the time not boxing those things, it's okay to act it. When that temptation comes, act holy. I'm choosing no. So you're acting. Because the fruit of holiness is, I have no choice. It's a fruit. I can't help it. I can't help but not be mad at you. The old me would have beat you up, would have chewed you out, would have smacked you around, and then after you were crying, I would have done it over again. Then I would have told everyone that I did it, just to let them know if they did it, I'll do the same to them. I'm becoming this person of love that I can't do. I can't be who I used to be. The things that you're fighting in holiness, if you keep praying and you keep pouring that word into you, that new nature will begin to renew that inward man, renew the mind, the knowledge of the inward man, until finally the belief inside of you will be stronger than the belief of your flesh. And you will look at that ugly thing and say, I don't need you anymore. I don't want you anymore. I am cutting you out. And you will kill it. And it won't be you anymore, no longer having to act a certain way. It'll be who you are. You're not alone in this battle. It's a long battle. No, there's no getting around it. I wish we could just lay hands on you. I mean, I wish someone could lay hands on me. And please understand, even though I'm using the fruit of my infirmity, this natural battle I'm going through, in no ways do I expect healing to be tied in with anything other than I'm healed. Just to be clear, we don't put up with sickness, okay? But I wish someone could just lay hands on me. Now, I'm not talking about for this infirmity. I'm talking about all the other stuff that you may not know about. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you about them. But those infirmities that keep you from walking in what God told you you could do. I wondered why it used to bother me when I'd get around certain people and they'd have a battle and they'd just spit out the word, which we know that's great. But there seemed to be a shallowness to it. I didn't know why. It's because they had the knowledge of the word. They knew who they were, but they didn't become it. The word is more than just speaking it. It's supposed to go into you to feed you so you can become who he says you can become. You and I can become love, can become holy, can be peace. That'll be our nickname. There he is, Mr. Peace. Always, always peaceful. I mean, this happened and that happened and the devil did this and he's just lives in la-la land, but that's who you, Mr. Peace. There she is, Mrs. Joy. I know what's going on in her life, but she's always smiling. I don't know how she does it. She can't help it. Because she became it. You and I are to become who he says we can become. You're not stuck, even though you may be battling the same thing for years. You're not stuck. Amen. Not only do you have his power, his love, his grace, his mercy, the anointing, your prayers. Do you understand? He'll walk with you in deliverance too. There's an element, okay. See, the thing in me that something pushes you. Say you're battling something and it's pushing you. I'll just take one more minute. Sean, come up here quick. Joe, come on up here. Stand up in front so everyone can see you. Now, here's Sean, good Christian, but he has a problem. There is something in his flesh that desires something that's against the word. The word exposes it and says, you don't have to put up with this forever. And see, before he was saved, he had no choice because his nature was sin. But now, he has a new nature. So now he does not have to live by this infirmity the rest of his life. So what the devil does is he comes along and he scans. I mean, he scans with a radar and high tech. He knows exactly where that infirmity lies. See, this is why when the devil comes to tempt you, he doesn't come to tempt you with something you're not tempted by. Otherwise, it's not called temptation. Oh, hallelujah. I went down the road and some guy was out there with a sign and said, I want you to work for free. And I resisted that temptation. I resisted it. You'd be so proud of me. I resisted it. It was something I didn't want. So it wasn't really a temptation. So the devil doesn't come to you with something you don't want. He looks at something in your flesh that's broken. And he becomes that to you. When we hear about the spirit of lust, there's no professional devil running around that's only a spirit of lust that high heels and, you know, green-faced, red-dressed devil walking around. Hey, boys. That devil looked at you, found your handle, the lust of the flesh, and then tempted you with that. So the moment you accepted it, he puts a yoke around you. Put your arm around his neck there, yeah. Now, here you are. Now, all of a sudden, what used to be a desire is now pushing you. And you don't notice it until you fight it. He said, I'm going to go pray. Why am I having such a hard time? because you're yoked to it. Now listen, I've had over the years many people come to me. I need deliverance. Yes, deliverance is available, but it's only the first part of the answer. See, how many have seen this? A drug addict, a young drug guy, we'll say Sean has a problem with drugs. And it's really not the drugs, it's what the drugs give him that he's after. And so he comes to the service, his mama sneaks him in the service, tricks him, he comes up for prayer, the preacher lays hands on him, and he is set free. Boom. He's like, wow, what happened? The yoke was destroyed. Now he's free. He feels free. He's not being pushed and driven. He's in church. Every service, first one there, last one to leave. He's up worshiping God. So thankful. And we're excited for him. Then 6 weeks later, what happened to him? He's no longer here. Why? Because he got tired, lonely, depressed, and the devil came up and offered him a temptation. He took it, and now he's yoked back up. See, the anointing comes, deliverance comes to destroy the yoke, to give you a season of freedom for you to work on the part of you that's broken. That season of freedom is not to just jump up and down and say, I'm free, I'm free. That season of freedom is to pour into your spirit, man, hour after hour in the prayer, without the restraint of that yoke, so that when he tries to come back, the enemy, you say, I don't need you anymore. I have a belief in me that's bigger than the belief in my flesh. Thank you, guys. Give them a hand clap. Good job, boys. Don't give up. Don't judge yourself too harshly. Some of you have good reasons for your infirmities. But it doesn't mean they get to stay. Don't judge yourself. You don't come perfect every day. This is a tree to mature takes time. But you got to feed that tree. That's the when you hear the word renew. You got to feed that tree. You got to rebuild it. The inner body was built on darkness before you were saved. But when you're born again, life was given to it, and now you can rebuild it. That's why I use the word renew, because it wasn't switched. You can rebuild it, renew it with life, light, knowledge of light. Knowledge of life, that knowledge of darkness is still in your natural brain, your natural soul. You're a failure. You're always going to be a failure. Just accept this and be happy with what you get instead of fighting for more. Don't fight. Don't accept what the devil says you have to have. Don't accept the belief in your flesh that says this is what you get. Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. Spend time in his word. Feed that inner man and renew it with the knowledge of Christ, and soon that belief will get so strong in you, you'll look over at that ugly belief sitting on the couch and say, time for you to be moved out. Time for you to go. Yes, get deliverance. Get in every prayer line. Get in all the prayer lines. There's nothing wrong with getting under the anointing. That's all healthy. But don't just live there and say, I'm just waiting for the anointing to do its job. This is more. This is building your inner man in the knowledge of Christ, so you can walk in who he says you can be. Knowing who you are is different than becoming who you are. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. You've not given up on anyone. We've not given up on you either. We won't accept a second-class gospel. We won't accept a gospel that does not include revival and change in this world. My life is not going to be wasted on myself, on other people. It's going to be wasted on your, not wasted, it's going to be given to revival, given to change in this world, given to my part of the body. Father, thank you that you've not given up on one person, but you're always for them. No matter how many times we fail, you're with us to succeed. Your grace is enough. Your mercy is here for us every day. Thank you for continuing to build hope in us to finish on this road that you started us on. Thank you so much that we're going to change this world. I'm going to change this world. You're going to change this world, people. Father, we give you glory for everything that's done. It's not by us, it's by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the prayer line's open, especially if you feel that you're struggling with something that's really pushing you or pulling you. It doesn't have to be a sin. It can be just a struggle with emotions. It can be you feel yourself being pushed and pulled. Well, the anointing's here today. That can be broken. You can leave here today with that broken today. And you're on a road to finishing what God started. Amen? So if you like prayer, please come. Calling in the Lost is on tonight at 7. You are released. Come for prayer if you'd like to. God bless you.